again. Welcome to the Weekly BJ Podcast, starring DJ BJ, a.k.a. Arabian Knight, a.k.a. the Sultan of Sweat. He's 6'2", 225, coming straight out of Milwaukee. And now he's living the dream in Malibu, answering your fitness questions. That's right, even the stupid ones. Gonna melt your face off.
Gonna melt your face off. Gonna melt your fucking face off. Gonna melt your face off. Gonna melt your fucking face off.
Yo, BJ Gador with the Weekly BJ Podcast. And at the time of recording this, it's actually 5:33 in the morning. I woke up, kind of shot out of bed about 4:30. Because I had this idea of doing this podcast. And by the way, most of my ideas, like the really good ones, they happen when I'm walking the dogs and listening to music. Vacations are really just cool, chill, relax moments. And then also a lot of times at night, my brain is fucking weird. It works through shit and then all of a sudden it processes while I sleep. And then sometimes it'll actually wake me up when the ideas or something I've been thinking about for a while actually comes to fruition. So got my coffee. Got some Blue Bottle coffee, by the way. Blue Bottle. And I'm not sponsored. I should be. But delicious coffee. I've got some cream mixed in. Just, it's smooth as fuck. If you're looking for a new brew, check out Blue Bottle. Delicious. So I'm going to be a little bit slow in the beginning here. I'll warm up into it. But today I'm going to be talking about the method behind the madness of my workouts. I'm going to use the actual workouts from October 2019 at thedailybj.com. I'm going to give you insights into exactly what, like, literally what I'm doing, the mindset as I program the workouts, everything, you know, the theme of the month or the timelines I'm using, exercise order, selection, flow, you name it, equipment, etc. And I think you'll really enjoy it. Number one, for the people that are actually members of my site, you know, I do like a brief article on this, but I'm better actually in speech than writing. I can actually really give you more insights this way so you know exactly why you're paying for what you're getting. And obviously there's still videos and everything else that comes with it, a really nice user-friendly app, etc. So, you know, you're still going to be getting what you pay for. I'm just giving you the knowledge in terms of why we're doing what we're doing here this month. And if this goes well, it's experimental, we'll do it ongoing. Number two, I want to give trainers insights into how to make killer programs. I got my start, actually, my first membership program, believe it or not, was me providing the monthly bootcamp workouts along with interval soundtracks with this company called Workout Muse. The exact stuff I was doing at my gym, the Fitness Asylum in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, in 2008, that's when it started. They paid $200 a month to get exactly what I was using that month with my programming, which was six new workouts every month. So by the way, those that are members of thedailybj.com, like this, you're just doing the latest iteration of what I originally started back in 2000. I've been making membership programs, you know, for over a decade now at this point. So, you know, that'll also give you understanding into why I've gotten so good at this and everything else. But, you know, that's how I got my start. The benefit of, for me, what I have to say about trainers, man, you know, they're ride or die. And why I always love to impact trainers is because, you know, ultimately I know that, you know, fitness is so personality-based. A lot of people, you know, hate me or would never want to listen to what I have to say because of, you know, the way I look, how I sound, whatever. You know, I get it. There's different strokes, different folks, all the flavors out there, etc. But I knew if I could impact trainers and kind of put my stank on what they do in a positive way, that ultimately I was helping other people through them. So I love that, and I may have gotten away from that over the years. I'd like to start tapping more into that. And, you know, if I can help trainers take, you know, more pride in what they're doing and create more artistry in their own workouts, then that's awesome too. And number three, we have a lot of entrepreneurs who listen. I'm an entrepreneur, have been my whole life. I want to give you some inspo and really fitspo to learning how to better scale your time, make more and work less. Ultimately, what used to take me a full month, when I first started making membership programs, it took me like, I'd finish it, I'd take like a day of rest and I'd start working on the next month right away because I wanted to make it the best and I put everything into it and I made killer content, but it just took me so much longer to do it. Now, if I'm being completely honest, all in, I can get this done in a half day. It takes me an hour to program, hour to film, load it up. I do all the, I get it up on the site and everything else. It's all kind of like self-contained. My wife films it. You know, I do one takes for each video, so they require no editing. It's really tight. You know, basically all the stuff I've done up until this point has allowed me to get to the point where in a half a day, I can make more money and impact more people than I used to 10 years ago. It would take me a full month to be able to do that. And then from the standpoint of working with trainers, working with people in person, I'd have to do, you know, sessions. To even come close to that amount of money, I have to do like 2 to 3 sessions a day, lose my voice, sweat through my clothes, scream, yell, motivate, coach, correct. And now I can do it without actually ever seeing people. And I've gotten people that have done my shit for 15 plus years. So, you know, a lot of people will say, okay, you know, use the time to make more money or get busier. For me, it's like, no, the whole goal was to be able to get better at what I do so that I can actually have more time, more freedom, etc. So I hope you guys enjoy this one. It's going to be fun. And I've kind of, in some ways, accepted that I've just, you know, I'm a guy with a cult following. I'm never going to be a mainstream guy, you know, because especially now that, like, I'm actually truly being who I am and not putting on the performance of being kind of, like, vanilla and accessible and all that bullshit. You know, there really are only a couple thousand people willing to do the Daily BJ style of workouts, the Metcon circuit style, and commit to what that 352 forever. Three whole body workouts, 30 minutes or less, 52 weeks a year. I'm not willing to do any of the fucking gimmicky bullshit anymore of like, okay, I've done pre-holiday shred, post-holiday shred. Some of you will even say members of the site, like, can you do one of those again? And it's like, well, it was just a cool name. Like the workouts this fucking month, October 2019, are just fucking straight fire. Like, I've never made better workouts than I've made this month, but because I just say October 2019, people think it's not as good as what it used to be. So I'm going to fucking take the time to explain to you how good my fucking workouts are during this episode, okay? And, you know, it blows my mind in the sense that for me, it's like, look, the amount of time I'd have to put into to kind of sell you on the workouts, this isn't really worth my time anymore. But originally when I first got into this, I used to write a full article for every fucking workout I made because no one knew who I was and I had to sell people on why they had to give this a shot. That's how I initially won people over. You've got to sell this shit out of your workouts, especially if you don't have a name or the credibility or the reputation or longevity in this space. Like, I've just gotten too lazy, I realize. I just have not done a good job of selling my workouts anymore. I think they should just stand on their own. I mean, fuck, I've been doing this for 15 years. I don't know how many fucking work. I've forgotten most of my best workouts at this point. Every once in a while, someone like will send me something. Like, someone sent me something from 2007 the other day. I'm like, wow, that was a great workout. Forgot about that one. And I sold the shit out of that one because I needed to at the time. And I was reminded of this also recently, too. There's this great sandwich shop in Thousand Oaks, California, about 30 minutes outside of Malibu. Most things, by the way, are about 30 minutes outside of Malibu, which is fine because we like the privacy and the remote nature of it. But, you know, there isn't a whole lot of stuff around. So you've got to go to different places. And this shop is called Uncle AF's. Uncle AF's. If you're ever in Thousand Oaks, check it out because it's a great sandwich shop. They have a full bevy of kettle chips. They even have the Korean barbecue kettle chip, which is like next level shit. Trust me on that. But I walk in. Before I can even like say a word or like look at the menu, you know, this guy comes up, the owner of the shop, who takes so much fucking pride in what he does. He goes, "You guys ever been here before? I would know if you have. I don't think you have." And I said, "No, this is our first time. We actually got a recommendation." And he goes, you're going to love my sandwiches. They're the best sandwiches. He just starts bragging, like, nonstop about, like, how good the sandwiches are. And, like, but he does it in a way where it's, like, it's not arrogant, it's confident. Like, this dude, like, puts a lot of time and effort into it. And he starts asking us questions. And through the questions he was asking us, he knew exactly which sandwiches to recommend. They were delicious. And, you know, he takes a lot of pride in the shop. It's a family-run business. And he made me want to love the sandwiches. They were great sandwiches, but they were even better than they would have been had he not sold me on them so much. And also just like he had this personality. He was a good guy. You know, I felt his passion. I fucking felt it. Like it was beautiful. And even if the sandwiches were bad, I probably would have liked him because I was pulling for this guy. So, you know, whether you're a trainer or whatever else you're doing, especially if you've been doing this for a long time, it's easy to forget like the importance of having to sell people and just tell it like it is. Not everybody can see it. Not everybody can see the genius in things that you do or will give it a shot on the surface because it isn't, you know, there isn't millions of dollars of marketing behind it or there isn't something, you know, fancy high production value. Or this is like a small ass shop. Like you would have walked by this shop had I not told you about it. Or if we didn't like get like hear some great reviews online about it. So don't be afraid. If you're good at what you do and you believe in what you're doing and you take a lot of pride in your work, don't be fucking afraid to tell people how good you are at what you do and how good what you put together is. So I'm at least going to do that this month. And if I get demotivated again, you know, at least I did it once. But make no mistake about it. There is an artistry to programming workouts. Like a musician making a killer song or a chef making a killer meal. Now, I love food and music more than fitness. So frankly, I don't put myself at that level. You know, like even the best workout's not going to be as impacting, in my opinion, as like a truly memorable song or like the joy that can come from an amazing meal with friends. So I'm not trying to make myself like fucking bigger than I am. But I'm saying in my fucking small little space of adult PE, nobody can do what I do. I am the best at what I do. And I'm going to explain to you why coming up. And it's because of the fact that I can put things together in a way that I don't think anybody else can. And when I have, like I have the ability now at this point, I don't even have to do the workouts anymore. I just, because I've done them all. I've done all the moves. I've done all the different combinations. I can just put the words on paper and know exactly. I can actually feel when I'm putting it down. I can feel, like I'll get when I'm doing the zombie lunge, when I'll get to that in workout one. I can feel what's happening at the level of the hip and hamstring because of the way I'm stepping with the movement. And so as I'm writing these things on paper, I told you one of my powers is feel. I can feel. I can feel exactly what's happening in the body in the moment. So that's part of why I can design like these amazing workouts is because they might look really simple on paper. A lot of people are just blown away. Like they see these six moves, you know, clean, not a lot of fancy naming around it. Like sometimes I do make the best names. I do make the best captions. Look at my captions on Instagram. Look how clean they look. I take the time to put them in an app, a special app that creates paragraph breaks as I know people need to see the paragraph breaks. I only say absolutely what I must say. And nothing more, not only to fit within the caption, because I don't have a lot of your time. I mean, you're barely even looking at this shit anymore. I'm losing 1,000 people a week, whatever. But I want it to look good because, you know, it has to be properly explained. I want you to know why you're doing it. At the same time, I don't want to waste your fucking time. I like to get straight to the point. Take a look at those captions, compare them. If you can find someone in fitness that writes better captions in terms of getting the message across quick, it looks good. I use all the fucking emojis. Let me know if they make better captions than I do. All right. But, you know, there is an artistry to it. And it just so happens that I'm in a space where no one really gives a fuck. Like no one really gives a fuck about fitness. Honestly, most of the time, I don't either. I'm trying to make it the smallest part of my life. And it's been great. I have other interests now, but doesn't mean I'm still not very good at what I do. In fact, I think I'm the best I've ever been. I just have not been telling people enough. So here we go. One thing I'll say too, you know, part of the issue, I think, with stuff like this, you know, where there isn't a whole lot of interest in it and it's all about scams, gimmicks, etc. You have to support the real ones. You know, I try to get people on the show that are the real ones that don't have a lot of support. That really should. Like, one of the things that, like, it simultaneously, like, warms my heart and devastates me at the same time. Every fucking day, like, two or three people will message me on YouTube and say, how do you not have a million subscribers? And I'm like, I fucking know. I don't know. Why don't I? Well, there's a lot of reasons. I'm not doing a good enough job selling my shit. I just want it to stand on its own. Number two, I'm not willing to do all the other shit that a lot of these other trainers are willing to do, which is like, do collaborations and get together, do partner workouts, synchronized. And, you know, I'm not willing to do the work with brands anymore. And most of them would never want to work with me at this point anyway, because I'm toxic to most brands. You know, I fucking talk about weed and, you know, I swear and all that shit. So those days are past me at this point for sure. And then I'm not willing to do the transformation contest bullshit. I'm sorry. Fuck that. Listen up. You have to work out 3 times a week, every week for the rest of your fucking life. Let's just get over that. So I don't have to fucking make up a stupid workout name just to get you motivated this month. Just get past that. This is a culture. It's physical culture. My ultimate dream is to be able to just provide this shit for free and support myself other ways. I'm kind of in the process of doing that. And especially when you see me launching things that are outside of fitness or not directly making programming stuff, like, your support there means the world to me, and more than anything else, because I would like to get back to that at some point. Initially, I just started doing this for free. I just wanted to share it because I had a fucking gift. I know right away I had a gift with this shit. And in my fucking dorm room in Amherst College, as I'm designing my first workouts, I just had a gift. I could put this shit together in a way that was unique. And it just took me a lot more time then than it does now. But even then, and I'm so much better at it, but like even then, like I was way better than I should have been. Uncertified, no experience, it just came to me. So, I'd like to get to the point at some point where I can just do this for free and then support myself other ways, you know, the gear, whatever, the clothing, whatever. Because that is ultimately kind of where I think I'm at my best. But you got to support the arts. If you inside and outside of fitness, when you see people that are super passionate at what they do, that have fucking like paid their dues, they deserve it. They deserve the recognition. They deserve at least to be supported. You know, you got to do that for people. And I'm not asking for you to send me money. All right, we're doing well. Like we've got a couple thousand people doing these workouts just in the dailybj.com. We have other stuff going on too. But at the same time, it occurs to a lot of people that I should have a lot more people doing it. And I also know how much extra work it would take for me to even bump it up like a couple hundred extra members, and it's not worth it. So just know there's a lot of things that go into this. Before I get into explaining the method behind the madness of this month's programming, and again, you don't have to be a member to benefit from this information, you'll see very shortly, I wanted to tap into 3 quick listener voice messages because I'm getting a lot of them, and I want you guys to keep sending them on Anchor, free app for Apple and Android devices. You send me your messages. I'll either make a full show about it if it makes sense, or I'll, you know, try to get you on the show, get your voice on the show, and interact with you quickly. Since we're getting a lot of these, I'm going to try to get more of them, especially the smaller ones that don't really make sense or full episode, or maybe I've covered stuff in the past. I'll get to them quicker. But again, like really, what I do want you to understand too is, look, I'm a humble guy. At the same time, I know my worth. I know my value. So I don't want this to come off as like me bragging about how great I am, because frankly, I'm obviously not that great because I don't have a million subscribers, okay? And the reason most of you even know me, many of you even know me, is because I found my way to be able to get into Men's Health and use their platform, all right? And some of you have been down with me since day one, since the beginning, for sure. And you guys really know how good I am at this shit and how much better I've gotten over the years. But, at the same time, like when it comes to like the art of designing workouts, there is no better. There might be comparable, or, you know, because it's all about style, right? You may not like my style, but you can't deny, like, you couldn't have done it better in 30 minutes, okay? And you couldn't have made it more concise or simple or clean. And we'll get to that coming up. So let's get to the listener voice messages. Then I'm going to get into the TDBJ October 2018 method behind the madness of the program. And I think you guys will enjoy it. All right, quick break.
BJ, this is Gary from Atlanta again, and this message is not necessarily to make the podcast or what have you. This is just me saying to you, I was listening to the top 100 songs playlist thing. And you know what, man? When you played O Fortuna, yo, I had to stop. I was like, I can't do the intro. I got to go and play the actual song. That's what I'm fucking talking about. I'm going to tell you why real quick. I'm not going to let the minute run out on me. Yo, man, playlists, you know what I'm saying? It's like you got to do you. You got to get into your own zone and play what you like. Most people are going to associate a playlist for the gym with, you know, a lot of hip hop, you know, or whatever. And that's fine. That's cool. But I be throwing shit like that in the mix, yo, because that shit gets me going, yo. Yo, I'm digging that, bro. That's it, man. Have a good one. Talk soon. Peace.
Gary, that's the passion I'm talking about, man. I appreciate you. I had to get you on because not enough people have checked out the playlist. We got a lot of people checking it out, but please do. And originally it was supposed to be, you know, the top 100 workout songs for the 100th episode, but like almost all the shit I do, I'm a firm believer if it's worth doing, it's worth doing well. And so now it's like 800 tracks. I've spent countless hours on it. And the beauty of the playlist too, by the way, Gary, for you in particular, because I know you're living in ATL, I've got both the Welcome to Atlanta original song and also the Coast to Coast or All Coast remix as well. So it's on there as well. You just have to, it's a rabbit hole, man, once you get into that playlist. And man, music drives movement. It's one of the reasons I made that workout music company I'd mentioned previously, is that I saw how important music was to the workouts, and then there was a timing aspect to all my metabolic conditioning circuits, and I was spending too much time looking at the clock doing that shit. So I created interval soundtracks so that it was automated through the sound and the music, and then I could just coach and motivate and focus on the clients and campers, etc. And that was one of the big, you know, we have people, by the way, still using those soundtracks, and some people that are still using like an original iPhone or iPod, because the app, the iWorkout Muse app, which actually allowed you to blend your music with the interval timelines of your choice, you could actually custom make it. Obviously it's obsolete now on, you know, future current models of the iPhone or Android, whatever, but, people, because they loved it so much and it's such a culture of their programs and campers. And by the way, send me a voice message if that's the case for you, so that people think I'm crazy when I mention that. There's one individual, he knows who he is, who offered to pay me like $10,000 for the app programming or code so he could, you know, remake it and modernize it. Like, by the way, he wasn't the only one. We've gotten multiple requests on that, and it's obsolete at this point. That was code from fucking 2012, but or 2011. So anyway, I know the power of it, and people always got to think it's got to be like, you know, face melting heavy metal or like super hype rap song. But some of the best workout music is just, it's tonal and it's emotion. The reason, like on paper, like some of the Rocky music, like without the Rocky franchise, it might still be good, but it's not the level of when that fucking song comes on, everyone fucking gets in the zone. And O Fortuna, that orchestral that Gary's talking about, man, that song is just so hype. I mean, they when they made it, they weren't thinking about a workout song, but I can't think of a better song to start a workout. So please check out the playlist on Spotify. You can search BJ Gaudreau's Ultimate Workout Playlist. I also will put it in the show notes. It's also outlined in full episode 100. But Gary, thanks again, man, for the passion. Glad you're digging the whole playlist. And if there is a song I missed, man, let me know. We'll take another question next.
Hey, BJ. Shaniqua here from Houston. Go Astros. Woo! Anyways, I joined the dailybj.com in October, November of 2017. I'm in the best shape of my life, which in itself has created kind of a problem. I've achieved every aesthetic goal I've wanted, even the ones I've been trying to get for 14 years. So my question is, how do you keep pushing when you've reached the end? How do you stay motivated?
Yo, Shaniqua, I appreciate you so much. We've interacted before in the comments section of the Daily BJ. Man, your consistency is incredible. Keep it going. I know what you're going through as well with regards to kind of the goal hangover. You know, we've all been there. The issue with fitness in a lot of ways is that most of the changes to your body will happen in the first 6 to 12 weeks and really the first year. And then from there, it's a lifelong journey of really slow cooking the gains and the progress. So you go from like being a complete novice to getting like much better at something and seeing noticeable results and have people around you say things and notice. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay, like I'm kind of where I wanted to be. And, you know, maybe I can slowly improve over time, but, you know, it's not as motivating as it used to be because, you know, now you're just this fit person. And there's limits genetically, right? Naturally. That's why people take drugs and do surgeries and shit. They cheat the system. And then it makes other people around them compare themselves to their inflated results and make themselves feel bad about it. What you have to understand is that, and I think we make this mistake in fitness, it's okay to like achieve the goal and then just be okay with that. We don't have to always fucking push it to the next level. Like we don't always like, you don't have to like get in shape and then now I got to fucking run a marathon because like I need a new goal. It's like, no, you, now let's just, just stay in shape. You know, like I think the danger, no, I'm not saying you don't want to pursue things in deep dive. Obviously I've done that and I think there's value in that. I think part of what your issue might be is that you only had an aesthetic goal and now we need to look at other goals like performance-based. You know, maybe you want to be able to do a pull-up or more pull-ups or, you know, you want to run a sub 8-minute mile or, you know, whatever. Or really what I think comes to it for most people is just really about compliance, which is why I'm just a huge fan. Like I know if you work out 3 times a week for 52 weeks a year for the rest of your life, you'll win the fitness game. You're going to win. Like it's really that simple. You just got to do 3 workouts a week, 52 weeks a year, every fucking year. Done. All right. There's compliance goals, which I think are key. And I think people overlook them. And really that's where I'm at in this point in my life. Because again, like you, Shaniqua, I'm happy with how I look. And I'm okay. Like if I just look the exact same for as long as I can, I'd be good with that. But I'm also still, you know, working on making small changes over time. But I just have other interests. And I have other things I want to do too. So part of what I go to is like, what did Michael Jordan do when he knew he was the best at basketball? He's like, fuck it. I'm going to retire. I'm just going to play baseball for 2 years. And he actually got pretty good. Watch the documentary, by the way, on Jordan Rides the Bus. He was, most experts in the space, at least in the documentary, thought like he could have played Major League Ball had there not been a strike and had he had more time, etc. You know, what did Jay-Z do after he was considered the best rapper at the time? Like, went to mogul shit. I'm going to fucking make clothes. I'm going to fucking, you know, produce other artists. So, like, what I'm trying to get to is that we don't have to, like, strictly pursue just a single thing indefinitely. Once you are satisfied with the results, you've got good enough results, we can diversify and we can also use our fitness, the energy, the stamina, the confidence to pursue other interests and other aspects of life and not just make it solely one-dimensional fitness. Now, with that too, part of what you can also do now, Shaniqua, was like, let's learn a new skill. Part of what I've been preaching is like learning how to box. Because what's so great about boxing is you take the fitness you've built and the conditioning you've built and the leanness you've developed and the look, etc. And now you know, from the workouts you do at the Daily BJ, now you learn how to box and take a skill and you can actually see all that shit you've been working on transfer in a real world setting and actually learn how to defend yourself. And frankly, it's just a lot, it's more fun, which is why I've tried to incorporate some boxing into some of the workouts at the Daily BJ because it travels well and it's incredible cardio and it's a skill. So, you know, there's a lot of things you can do. I did an episode, by the way, on how to stay motivated, episode 56. I went a full deep dive on that, so check that one out. But and I will go to it as well. Like when I made the cover of Men's Health, because that was like the main goal for me. Like that was a goal from the time I got into fitness or reading that magazine up until the point when I was 34 when I made the cover. And once I made the cover, I thought I was going to be so happy. It was actually really depressing because like what I had nothing to be motivated for anymore. So I had to reassess and shift focus, and really, for me, it's more about compliance. It was about picking up a new skill like boxing, and then continuing to develop my craft, and you know, whether it be a new training tool or trying new things in the gym with programming, etc. But really, what I'm finding to be the key with this shit, by the way, Shaniqua, is I am not letting fitness control my life anymore, and I'm actually using the extra time to make myself more well-rounded, more of a renaissance man or renaissance woman, whatever you want to call it. And I'm finding too, because I'm spending more time outside of fitness, when I am in fitness, I have more creativity, more energy, and I actually enjoy it more. So I hope that helps. Check out episode 56 for more on it, but just stay the course, stay compliant. And you know, if there's a situation where you want to build more muscle, eventually Gorillacorn Gains will be open in 2020 in a more cost-effective way, you know, co-ed men and women. So stay tuned for that. And actually it leads me into the next question from Amanda.
Yo, BJ, this is Amanda calling from Raleigh, North Carolina. I have been following you for many, many years, way back in the MH days, doing your workouts. Remember a vivid workout you did with Jen and Hank? Loved it. I went on to your website to get in on the Garden of Gains before the promo ends, and I see that it's only open to men. I'd love to hear a podcast where you have all the ladies, all the questions that they've asked you and how they're doing with your workouts. I don't want to be intimidated by joining a men's group because I think women can do exactly the kind of work that you're doing, just with different results. How about you get you and the missus on a podcast talking to all the ladies? So glad you moved out west.
Yo, Amanda from North Carolina. I just played, if you're listening, on Anchor. Best listening experience. I know people had complained about, oh, you can't, I guess apparently you can't save or stop where you were if you're listening and pausing. But I'm sure that'll improve over time. If you're making, I make all my podcasts, by the way, on Anchor. I literally do them, and then I can post them within 5 minutes of doing it. If you are someone looking to make a podcast, entrepreneurs, trainers, whatever, it's really simple and easy. You can add intro sounds, music that can play in 30-second bits, but you can only hear it on Anchor currently. It doesn't transfer over to iTunes, etc. I don't think they have the royalty rights or whatever yet. But anyway, Amanda, please tell me you are a fan of that track if you heard it on Anchor. If not, the reference is Petey Pablo's Raise Up. As far as I understand it, the North Carolina anthem. And there's also, by the way, an All Cities remix. Both tracks, by the way, on the BJ Godore's Ultimate Workout playlist on Spotify. You can check out. But thanks so much for your support, for listening to the show, and for your interest in Gorilla Corn Gains. So that program, by the way, there actually are a couple women in the program. They snuck in, which is fine. It's going to be, for 2020, I'm going to be releasing a lower cost version of that program without as much intensive coaching. That'll be co-ed. And I'm probably in the range of $50 to $100 a month. I'm not exactly sure yet, based on level of commitment, etc. But that'll be available in 2020, and it'll be my exact training plan for more of a muscle gain focus, good for men and women. And as I've talked about before, we have a lot of women that are members of the DailyBJ.com, like Shaniqua, who was just mentioned earlier. So I've also done episodes too, episode 67, Training Men versus Women, where I talk about the differences in my experience in working with both sexes. And then episode 63, my wife actually comes on and we talk about, it's episode 63, Marrying, Dating, and Fitness Not. So check out episode 67 and 63. And 63 with Naomi on, she talks about how, like, we've, you know, we try working out together, and ultimately we just find, like, we let each other do our thing, and where we can meet in the middle, we meet in the middle, etc. So I think your question should be answered in both of those episodes. But also know too that, you know, there will be Gorilla Corn Gains will be, you know, a new version of that coming in 2020. And men and women, and, you know, the classic metabolic bodybuilding, muscle building workouts, but also some Metcon too. So it's basically a graduate program of the DailyBJ.com coming in 2020. So look out for that. And after a quick break now, we'll get into the main episode. And please keep sending your voice messages. I love hearing your voices. You guys energize me. You really do. Like, it is oxygen to the program and to the podcast and to my life. So I love you guys, and thank you for that. That is the sound of my third cup of coffee. I'm fucking revved up, man. And it's 6:12. Man, I don't remember the last time I was up this early. Reminds me of the good old days when I used to get up at 4:30 a.m. for the boot camps. I don't want to get used to this, by the way. This is an isolated incident, hopefully. We have my cream, a little mixture, a little half and half. So I'm ready to talk about this shit now. The meat and potatoes of the episode. October 2019 programming. And what I'm looking at right now is just so beautiful. All six workouts, the entire month of programming, is on a single page. It's clean. I see a lot of white. There's, like, a lot of uniformity to it. By the way, like, on the, someone messaged me, a DailyBJ.com member, because, again, you guys always have my back. You said, just so you know, like, even when I'm not logged in, I can see, like, the exercise list and description of the workouts. And I'm like, well, that's just part of, we use Vimeo because Vimeo is the best video quality, and it's got an app that's that companion app that comes with the membership for Android and Apple devices. It's actually really slick. I can actually send you text notifications, and I do remind you to do your workouts, and sometimes I sext you and all that fun stuff. But you know, it's cool that way. But that is how it works. You can see like what you're paying for are the videos, right? Because that's me teaching, coaching, demoing, and etc. So, you know, yeah, you can see the written descriptions, and I can't do anything about that because that's the platform we're using. And again, like, would it be better to hide those? Maybe, but again, it is what it is. So I'll actually share what this looks like, just so you can see it. Yeah, you have to like see exactly why this is so great, because when I used to design workouts, like it was so, there was so much going on, and I was constantly trying to make it like, I spent too much time in every step of the thing, and it becoming so like expanded and it confusing. Like the simplicity of this is just like, I've worked my ass off, and I've spent countless hours programming and developing and training so I can get to the point where now it looks like, it almost looks like a simple sixth grade workout, if that makes sense. And I see it's like, I know like trainers are early on in their career when they have these big whiteboards and their workouts, and there's like, it looks like a fucking book. There's so many things on the board, and then things change, and because they haven't understand that the brilliance is in the simplicity, and let the movement speak for themselves. You don't have to don't muddy the message. Let the quality moves and the proper structure speak for itself. You don't want too much flavor. You don't want it to be too salty. You don't want it to have zero flavor either. So there's a balance. And part of the issue too is because when you're making online programs, and this is important if you make stuff for social media, etc. And I learned this. I talk a lot of shit about men's health, but when men's health was at its best, there were two fitness directors that preceded me, Lou Schuler and Adam Campbell. Lou Schuler mentored Adam Campbell. Adam Campbell mentored me. Those two guys, like, I can write, but those two guys know how to write. They've written best-selling books, multiple best-selling books. They've impacted more people in fitness when it comes to copy and marketing than maybe anybody else, excuse me, out there. That's a coffee burp. And one thing that I picked up from those dudes, like OGs in the game, say more in less words. And this applies very much. Like that's how editing works. Good editors are able to say more in less than anybody else. They don't waste a second of your fucking time. I've always tried to take that approach in fitness. You know, I want to get right to the point. I know you're busy, and I know you don't have a lot of time, and I know that our attention spans are literally zero at this point. So I just want to get to the point. And maybe I don't do good enough job of selling things, etc., but I just want to let the content speak for itself. I want you to do it, and I want you to benefit from it. That's my fucking MO. So those guys really impacted me, and you know, I look at the programming again because it's all about how it writes out and how it looks, and it's just clean as fuck. It's so fucking clean. It's like a crispy ass new pair of Air Force Ones or Jordans to me. That's what I want my workouts to look like: crispy, clean, and they fit on one page. All six workouts, like the entire month of your workouts, are I see it in one page in a Pages document on my Mac. So simple. So there's six workouts. Three of them use dumbbells. One uses bands, another kettlebell, another sandbag. So diverse amount of equipment. And it looks cool, like on Instagram, or like if you have the benefit of bootcamp environment, it's beneficial to have stations, right? Because then you don't need equipment for 30 people. You got 30 people in the workout. You don't need 30 pairs of dumbbells. You just need like six pairs, and then you need five stations. So you got a dumbbell station, a band station, a kettlebell, body weight, whatever. That's how I used to structure the workouts. It became very cost effective. And then technically there's a lot more variety there, and it's fun, and it works well in a group atmosphere. But when we're talking about workouts that you share on social media that people are doing solo, or, you know, and most settings are taking the workouts to the gym, you can't fucking, like, that's how I know, like, I see these motherfuckers, like, try to make home workouts, and you're using, in the same workout, dumbbells, bands, sandbags, etc., you know, all, like, six tools, and they're like, do you know what these motherfuckers are going to look like in the gym? Like, A, they're going to first have to, like, they're going to have to, like, take a group exercise room hostage. and take all the equipment in there and hope that no one comes in. Because, like, you basically need to create your own gym. And if you try to, you know, do it in a main gym setup, you're going to be looking like a total asshole, running around, jumping between different things. And then someone's probably going to take your equipment. They'll fuck up your timing. So more often than not, sometimes I do some fusion workouts, but because I'm all about the lowest common denominator, meaning, like, you know, I create workouts that anyone can do and benefit from and take all the way, right? Obviously, like, now, I personally, I could, in my garage gym, I could make the most eclectic workout of all time, but then what value is that to you if you don't have my exact setup? See what I'm saying? Like, there's so much fucking thought that goes into this. So when I make most workouts, I tend to be a single tool. Because I also know if you're taking these to the gym or you have minimal equipment access at home, it's not realistic for you to have a lot of different tools or a lot of different weights. In most cases, the workouts are created so that, and you know, there's a whole archive of, you know, 100 plus workouts now you can access, even if there's some, like there's a sandbag workout this month because people have asked for it. Many don't have sandbags. That's fine. You can skip that one and do either one of the workouts from this month an additional time, or pick from the 100 plus added every month workouts from the past that have the equipment you do have. Focus on what you can do, not what you can't, right? That's very key with fitness. I even saw, by the way, shout out to Marielle Jiquan, I believe is the name. She's been a longtime member, great supporter, beautiful Asian woman who is in such great shape and just has been so supportive along the way. And she took the sandbag workout and just she modified it with dumbbells. She just found a way to do it. That's what I'm talking about. Focus on what you can do, not what you can't do. Focus on what you do have, not what you don't have. It's just a positive mental attitude that some people have. And it makes such a fucking difference with this. That, you know, some would complain, but she just fucking finds a way to make it work. And so I respect that. So, you know, that's part of it too. And even with that, like the workouts are really designed with the person in mind that maybe has a pair of dumbbells of 10 to 25 pounds. And ideally, if you have like a light, medium, heavy, that's ideal. But if you don't, at least a single pair of 10 to 25 pound dumbbells, a resistance band or two in your body weight, and you can do almost 80% of the workouts at the site and get amazing fucking workouts in 30 minutes or less. That's fucking genius. I'm sorry, that's genius. Do you know how long it took for us to get to that point? There was a decade ago, there was still the thought that, and even like still to these people, like to the masses, the concept that you can actually get a crazy effective workout at home is new to people. It may not be new to you, but it's still new to people. When I share shit from the past, like a workout with a towel, that, like, you know, to many of you listening, you saw that and you loved it back in 2008, but that's like, that blew people's fucking minds. Or using a wall to work out. I'm going to share one of my six-pack suitcase workouts. My StreamFit members remember this one where I took a fucking suitcase and I made like six workouts with just the suitcase, a rolling suitcase. And they fucking loved it right in the hotel room. So again, a lot of this shit is new to people. The fact that, you know, people still think you have to actually go to the gym to get a quality workout. And you have to use a barbell and you've got to do like the traditional lifts. Otherwise, it's not a workout. It's weak sauce or whatever else. So the whole concept that you can actually get a fucking amazing whole body total fitness experience at home with minimal equipment, a pair of 25 pound dumbbells or less, a band and your body weight is still like mind blowing to people. So just consider that. So I'm a big fan of the single equipment workouts. I'm also a big fan of just really simple setups. So this month we're using 30-30 intervals. Let me take a quick drink of coffee here. People that remember workout news, remember 30-30 Mayhem? It was the third product we launched. We originally launched Bootcamp Dynamite, which is the 50-10 intervals, 50 seconds on, 10 seconds off. Then we launched the Tabatas, 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off. And then we launched 30-30s. Now, 30-30s is one I've been using this in some shape or format for since 2006, really. And it's honestly, I think it's definitely my top five workout setups of all time. Fat loss or muscle gain, by the way, because it kind of is where shred meets gains. 30 seconds of work. What does that mean to your body? We know that 30 seconds is kind of the minimum amount of time under tension to maximally stimulate muscle growth. So we know that aspect of it. So it has a beautiful benefit to muscle gain. We know that 30-second work periods also maximally deplete muscle glycogen, or the stored carbohydrate in your muscles. And the more carbs you burn during your workouts, the more your body burns fat at rest, recovery, at all times of day. So it's where shred meets gains. It's like, it's the perfect fucking circuit. And when you alternate between non-competitive movements that work your whole body, going from a pull to a push to a single leg left, single leg right, a core, a cardio, whatever. I'll talk about the structure coming up. We can keep your heart rate up the entire time. We can keep intensity high the entire time. We keep your rest period short. We can maximize the calorie burn and the return on every minute of your exercise. So there's no fucking dilly-dallying bullshit. You know, 30 minutes in and out, you're going to get a better workout than someone who takes 2 hours with lots of rest between sets doing straight sets. It's just a fact. And again, no one has time to do two-hour workouts. I know my busy parent professional members, you know, I don't have the time. And by the way, when I make the videos for the site, I cap myself about 5 minutes of explanation. I could take an hour to talk about each of these workouts if I wanted to. I really could, but then I'm not serving you guys properly. Because I know, like, for someone who's willing to pay for membership to our site, they're only willing to, just based on feedback, and I can see the analytics on the videos themselves, anytime it goes past 5 minutes, it's not a good thing, okay? And on social media, it's even worse. You've got a minute or less, and in most cases, it's all about the first, like, 10, 15 seconds, or you're fucking the thumbnail you're using. People will overlook an amazing workout if the thumbnail doesn't resonate, because they're fucking idiots. That's what we're dealing with here, okay, by the way. So I love the 30-30. I think it's the perfect amount of rest, too, because it allows me the ability to have enough transition times. Like, I love 40-20 and I love 50-10. I think they both have applications. In fact, part of what I told my members this month is that, you know, if you find yourself unable to properly load yourself or intensify that 30-second work period, you know, because if you are stuck, if I was stuck with a pair of 10-pound dumbbells, you know, 30-30s for some of these moves would be tough. So I might have to go 40-20, 50-10 and create more density in the workout, meaning more work, less rest, to properly, you know, stimulate the body and create a training effect. But I would lean against that. I've talked about this before. A lot of times, and I don't mean to generalize or come off misogynistic in that. I did a podcast on this. I think women will tend to want to do, you know, more 40-20, 50-10 and not intensify and load up and push themselves as hard as they maybe could because they like that cardio and nonstop feel where guys actually love 30-30s. They even prefer 20-40s, 15-45s more. But there's just a sweet spot of 30-30. You can really pick any movement you want because there's enough rest to be able to get there and even take a quick swig or towel down. And you can maximally push for 30 seconds. It's just the perfect workout. It's perfect. There's this cumulative fatigue that builds too. Like the first round, you know, six moves, 30 on, 30 off. And I recommend Tabata Pro as an app for timing. A lot of people, our members, use Seconds Pro. So there's other timing apps out there. But it just automates the workout and you can blend your own music. It's great stuff. And just focus on working as hard as you can. So you don't have to worry about counting reps. Honestly, it doesn't matter because what will happen is once you find that you can just work consistently in that work period for the full workout, you don't have to worry about the number of reps. You just, okay, I don't have to stop. So now I'm just going to increase the load or I'm going to make it harder based on if I show you or recommend a variation like elevate your feet to make this harder. Or, you know, I talk about that where it applies without making the video so stretched out and long-winded. But there's lots of ways you can work that. So it takes 6 minutes, and then it's like, this is literally the description of the month. It's three sentences. It's clean. It's simple. And right to the point. No bullshit. But you will not find a better way to train the body. Alternate between 30 seconds of work and 30 seconds of rest for each move. That's one round that takes 6 minutes to complete. Perform up to 5 total rounds for a 30-minute workout. Why do I say perform up to 5 total rounds? Because sometimes 2 or 3 rounds is enough. Especially if you're new to the style of training or you're short on time. To be honest, like, in most cases, if I push myself hard enough, I could get that. I'd be good enough at three rounds in. 3 rounds would be enough. And by the way, this is the biggest mistake people make when it comes to working out. It's 0 or 30 minutes, nothing in between. What you overlook, let's say that a 30-minute workout got you 3 points. But a 50-minute workout got you 2. a 0 minute workout or a skipped or missed workout because you couldn't do a 30 minute workout gets you 0 points. Would you not take the 2 points? Because again, if we're playing the 352 long game here for life, we just got to fucking accumulate the points. But maybe it's only 2 points a day. That's fine. But I need you to give me at least 2 points or at least get 10 minutes and give me a single point. 10 minutes gives you a point. Let's do it this way. 10 minutes gives you 1 point. 20 minutes gives you 2 points. 30 minutes gives you 3 points. There are some days you can only get a point, but that's fine because I'm all about just moving the needle in the right direction every fucking day or every time you're supposed to. Maybe the needle can move more one day than another if you have the time or whatever else, but just have the mindset about yourself that it isn't all or nothing and that this is a lifetime of training. Okay, this isn't a pre-holiday shred or a 6 or 12-week program. I don't have time for that bullshit anymore. I've been there, done that. I'm over it. I only want the people that just can buy into this being a physical culture and a lifestyle. That's where I'm at. So it's simple. It's clean. It's one of my favorite setups. And man, like the cumulative fatigue too, like it's where shred meets gains. It's where anaerobic meets aerobic. You know, it just conditioning, strength, power, muscle gain. I'm just a huge fan of this protocol. And I'm using the same interval for the entire month because again, like I'll do some months where we mix up the intervals, but sometimes I just like to keep it clean. And again, it just felt like that month. You know what? I'm going to keep it clean, simple. It's going to look beautiful. And that's what it is. Next month, I might change it up. So every workout has a different interval. But from a setup standpoint, too, once you have it in your timer, this is a very clean, easy month. And part of why I did that, too, is I know, like, especially towards the end of the year here, holidays come up and there's lots of things going on. So I shift the programming to be as streamlined and simple as possible because I just know that your resources are spread thin. Like, give me some fucking credit, by the way. Like, do you not think I don't think all this shit through? You're gonna fucking give me money to design you fucking gym workouts? I'm gonna give everything I have. I'm gonna think it all the way through. Just, do you guys understand that? Like, I'm not just fucking trying to get this shit done. I genuinely want, because I know what a good workout can do for your day, and I know what stringing good workouts together for weeks, months, years can do for your life. I take fucking pride in this shit. So I'm not going to just fucking get it done and throw it on paper or copy someone else's shit. And I'm thinking about you as the user throughout this entire process. I just want you to know that. I mean, it really does mean a lot to me, your support. The fact that I have people have never met me. They've never met me once and they've been doing my workouts since fucking 2005. So I just want you to know how much pride I take into this and that I'm thinking of every fucking variable. And now I can just do it at a speed that I never did before. In an hour, I can do this. And then in an hour of filming and then loading up, I mean, like, it blows my mind. But it doesn't mean that I'm not putting as much time or effort into it anymore. I've just gotten very good at it. And I also know that when good enough is good enough, that there's sometimes like once a workout is so good and it's right there that like I could take a month working on it and I'd only make it like 1-5% better. That's when I have to stop because there's going to be another month. All right, I'm not making like the 6 greatest workouts of all time here. Maybe I'll take on that challenge at some point down the road, but just 6 fucking quality face melting workouts for all fitness levels with minimal equipment. You can do at home or take to the gym. That's it. So workout 1, dumbbells. This one can be easily accomplished with a pair of 10 to 25s. But ideally, like if you're stronger fitness level, like I would probably use, as I'm looking through this, I would probably use 25 to 50 pound dumbbells, and I would switch the load based on the move. In some cases, maybe as I fatigued, I'd back off to a lighter load. And then with that too, by the way, heavy versus light. Sometimes you can go, maybe I want to go faster and get more reps in the 30-second period, or I want to go heavier and get more of a strength muscle gain stimulus. So even with the 30-30 breakdown, by the way, you can switch between more of a, you know, speed, stamina, power emphasis versus like strength, time under tension, higher tension loads. You can make it however you want. But again, in most cases, since people have light loads, minimal equipment, they're going to have to, you know, get more reps and use a faster pace. Okay. So I just mentioned that because you can, I can skew this to be as muscle building as I want. I can also skew it to make it as, you know, cardio conditioning, fat loss as I want, or I can mix it. So just consider that. So here's workout one. Pair of dumbbells, and the flow is this. You start with bear crawl rows. You move to bridged floor presses. You go to skier swings, then box thrusters, then zombie lunges left leg, zombie lunges right leg. Let me talk about why I set this up this way. I'm a huge advocate of the built-in warm-up, all right? People will still ask me, like, and there is, by the way, a 10-minute mobility activation sequence on the site, and, you know, that way. And by the way, you can also use the first round of a circuit with lighter loads and slower tempos to warm up, and then you can go faster, more intense, heavier loading in subsequent rounds. But even with that, and at the same time, too, I get people asking, like, can you get more mobility? It's like, why do you want more mobility? Like, I just gave you, this is like the perfect 10-minute mobility sequence. Like, here's the issue with a lot of what we do now in content. Because we have to make daily content now, we've got to constantly keep trying to make shit up, and we get people away from the fact that, like, there's only really, like, there's a handful of, like, really important quality mobility drills. That, I just, like, there's 14 that we rotate between in Gorilla Core and Gains as part of the 14-day Netflix and stretch cycle. Over the 14 days, your whole body is addressed with self-massage and mobility work, because you can't do it all in once. But even then, like, there's really five that I use the most. I got a workout post, mobility post coming up on this, by the way, on Instagram, I think today. So if you're listening today, you can check it out on Instagram. But why do we want to keep adding? Just fucking get better at the drills that actually matter. I'm not saying we don't want to innovate or tweak, but with that too, like, because of the fact that I've got 30 minutes with you all in. Because even 30 minutes all in, you need a full hour of time, right? Because you've got to, you know, get things set up, get a shower, change, whatever. So it's 30 minutes, but it's an hour. I mean, right? I mean, it's an hour. And with that, because you need 30 minutes really on top of the 30 minutes to, like, prepare, change, all in, there's no time for more warming up. Now, if you wanted to do the 10-minute mobility sequence, that's there. You can do it. But what I do with every workout is I create a built-in warm-up, meaning that it activates all the key muscles that we need to activate that get a little bit dormant when we sit a lot or we're inactive. And it also mobilizes the key joints. You know, we're trying to activate the core, the hips, the shoulder girdle. All right. We're also trying to mobilize shoulders, the hips, the ankles, the upper back, right? I mean, so all that goes into this. So I start with bear crawl rows because the bear crawl position is the best position for improving joint positioning, breathing mechanics, and it's just a really safe, effective way to start a workout to get blood to all the joints, just get you grooving. And we're doing rows. We're starting with a row pattern. And because you're doing rows from a bear crawl, you start with a lighter load in the first place. The bear crawl row warms up your entire body and actually locks in. It improves lunging mechanics, by the way. Do you know what's coming later in the workout? Lunges. Do you understand, like, what goes into every fucking, okay? Bridge floor presses is next. So you're going to be getting in on the ground, legs bent to 90 degrees, you lift the hips, and you can either pull the toes to the shin and get on the heel to get more shin activation and really strengthen the glutes and hams, or you keep your feet flat on the floor. The choice is yours. I like both options. I'll mix between them sometimes. But you're bridging up and you're holding that position, which is A, opening up the hip flexors, B, activating the glutes, and then also creating a decline pressing position, which is very easy on the shoulders. And you're doing basically floor, so you don't need a bench, basically, and you're doing presses on the floor. 30 seconds. Now, if the weight is too light, you can go faster. You can also make it so that you're not resting the back of the arms in the ground and making it more continuous. So there's lots of ways to make the light weight feel heavy or more challenging. But after those first two movements, the body is ready to go. Like that, like the first two movements are technically warm-ups. But by the way, you know, a good warm-up can also be part of a good workout. Not every move has to fucking destroy you. In fact, you don't want too many moves that are just total face melters, because then it's just too much. So, you know, that's something to consider too. You don't want to put like six face melters together. You want to give people some time to kind of be in the eye of the storm, so to speak. If I've created workouts before where it's just like you're in a fucking tornado the entire time. It's not good. So, you know, by coming back to those moves one and two each subsequent cycle of that workout, you're still pushing yourself and they're going to get harder as the workout goes, but it's not as challenging as the moves to come, okay, in terms of like systemic effect. So after these first two, usually what happens, people are like, oh, BJ's lost his touch. Oh, this is not as bad as I thought it would be. But then you get into the next two movements, which are skier swings and box thrusters. Two of the most metabolic, cardio-intensive, whole-body movements on the planet, but because I'm good at what I do, done in a safe way, an accessible way. So skier swings are done with dumbbells held at the side. Feet are closer together. I've talked about this one before in the podcast. And usually what happens with swings is, you know, people will squat too much and it's tough to learn, especially with a kettlebell. But with dumbbells, it's actually a lot easier. With a pair of 10 and 25 pound dumbbells, you basically assume a downhill skier position in the stretch portion, hinging at the hips, slight bend in the knee maintained throughout, but no squatting. And it's hard to squat, by the way, when the feet are close together. So it actually makes it impossible to really swing them properly. And you just swing either to chest level or you can even go overhead. If the weight is too light or you want to increase the deceleration demand, because as the weight comes down overhead, it'll start to feel like 50s, even though they're 25s towards the bottom of the movement, all right? So there's lots of that level change makes a difference. And that, I talk about that when I do the videos. So skier swings are going to work the entire backside of the body, fire you up. Studies show that swings get the heart rate up just as much as running. And we're also strengthening key areas of the body that are weak in most people. You know, the backside of the body really and great core exercise as well. Heart rate is going to be like starting to blast at this point. Shoulders lit, glutes lit. Then you go to box thrusters, which I've talked about before. Safer way, just autocorrects your thruster form, which is a basic squat to press. But going to a box, make sure that you ensure depth, make sure that you're sitting back more, and it just takes pressure off the back and the knees. And especially because you're going to be in a high state of fatigue, especially as subsequent rounds accumulate here. You know, I don't want those knees collapsing. I don't want that spine rounding. So the ugliest a box thruster can get is you just sit to the box and you're good. Okay, so that's why exercise selection is so paramount, especially when there's short rest and there's lots of stuff going on. I need fail safes in place for my people because I don't want people getting hurt on my watch. That's it. Even if it might not look as hardcore or whatever else, I give two shits. I'm worried about your experience. So those are the first four moves. And the final moves, and I'm a huge fan of single leg movements for lots of reason. They make lightweight feel heavy. They automatically start working your body in multiple planes of motion as compared to bilateral stuff. There's a more functional aspect to them when it comes to transfer over to other things in life. There's more built-in mobility effects, and the heart rate response is off the charts. Amazing for fat loss, all right? Zombie lunges. I saw this variation first from my buddy Jeremy Scott. I always credit where credit is due if I've seen it first from them or I can remember, or sometimes I'm sure I've shared some things that maybe someone else had done before that I didn't credit, but like sometimes things are just in the ether. But if I truly remember who did it, I'll credit them because, you know, it's like a royalty, right? Or just respect to your peers. No one thinks less of me because I got this move from Jeremy Scott. In fact, they're like, oh, he's even willing to study other people. You know, I think it actually adds credibility, by the way. And we're at a place now where people like to steal people's shit and not even mention where it came from. Or just honor the people that came before them. I'm not a fan of that. But the zombie lunge is unique in the sense that it's a walking lunge done on only one leg. So let's go with your left leg here. You step, you lunge forward, and then you pull the right leg back forward with you, but then you go into the left leg again. So it's only the left leg lunging, and the trail leg is just coming back to a stand. You just keep going on the same leg continuously. So it's basically a more constant tension walking lunge. And what's great about walking lunges in general compared to regular lunges is that you actually have to pull the hips forward. So you get more glute ham activation, you get more carryover to running, etc. So there's a really cool benefit that way. The heart rate goes through the roof, but now we actually create more of a, in my mind, a bodybuilding stimulus because that single leg is gonna get more fatigued. And it's called zombie lunge because if you just did one leg only, the fatigue from that side and the other side is really rested, you'll start walking like a zombie. So it's fun. And that's where like you have fun with the exercise names. I can't, you know, make every exercise name crazy, but what I do know over the years, if you're a trainer listening, like the names matter. The names of the workouts matter. Like workout, here's where I may have lost some of my flavor, right? It's called workout one dumbbells. But again, like, I'm just trying to get you into the workout. I mean, I could call this, it might do better if I called it fucking dumbbell dynamite or the six move six pack sculptor, you know. But again, most people that are members of my site, we're past all that bullshit. You just want the goods. But names do matter, and Zombie Lunch is a cool name. So people are going to get more excited about that. So that's something where, you know, marketing matters. And you got to sell your workouts. And maybe I could do a better job. But they're still fucking fire. Trust. So that's an amazing six-move full-body workout. We have an upper body pull that's also core intensive in the bear crawl row. We have a upper body push, which is also core intensive and mobility intensive in the bridge floor press. We have two full-body metabolic face melters in the skier swing and box thruster. One is more hip-dominant. The other is more knee-dominant. Swinging being more hip-dominant, thruster being more knee-dominant. And then we have zombie lunges, single leg, just mobilizer, lower body builder. Just, man, what a flow. What a fucking workout. Like, that workout is so good. I can't think of a better workout. Like, I could not make... You can make a different workout in six moves that work your whole body for fat loss, but you're not going to make a better one than that. I challenge you to do so. That anyone can do with minimal equipment or just a pair of dumbbells, a pair of 10 to 25s. Again, there might be a comparable one, but there's no better workout than that. That's when I know I'm going to the next workout. What I like to do too when I use different tools, so you're doing three workouts a week. Workout two is bands. Why do I put bands in the middle of the week? I do think about that. So the way the structure of the monthly programs, by the way, you do three workouts a week, 30 minutes or less, and you do it Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, ideally, or you could do it Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. Ideally, I want a day of rest between, and I like giving you guys, for general fitness, busy people with lots of stress in their lives over 30, I like the fact that you have a positive recovery ratio, meaning 4 days of lower intensity off, active recovery, and 3 days of high intensity training. That's going to be sustainable, and that's going to make it so that the gym isn't stealing quality of life. But with that, you know, there are six total workouts each month, and I do that for a couple reasons. One, I can't seem to sell people on three workouts, like at the price we're doing. Now, if I'm being completely honest, you might be better served if there were just three workouts you did for four straight weeks, because you get more exposures to them and you can see more progression through them. But what I've created with this biweekly rotation, meaning there are six workouts. The first week you do workout one on Monday, workout two on Wednesday, workout three on Friday. The next week it's workout four on Monday, workout five on Wednesday, workout six on Friday. And then that's a 2 week split. You do that one more time. So at least you're repeating it an additional time, because the first exposure to any given workout is intro. You're actually figuring out what loads to use, what variation, etc. And by the end of the workout, you kind of know what you need to do the next time. So if you're constantly doing a new workout every fucking day, it's going to be really impossible to progress unless you're super advanced and you're like locked in with your loading, your variation. Like, unless you're like me. If you're not like me and you've been programming workouts for 15 years and haven't missed a week of training since you were 14, then you've got to just understand, like, you need some continued exposure to shit, okay? So that would be ideal, but I also know that I need to blend the structure and the variety, and that for general fitness in particular, you're going to get bored by doing the same workout four times. And to create the value I need to create, I've got to make it six. So, but you know, many of you would prefer 12, a new workout every day of the month for 12 workouts a month. Not going to happen. I'm not willing to do that, and that's counterproductive because you're getting no additional exposures to the workout. It's not only more work than necessary, but it's not going to give you the best result. So I'm willing to compromise. I'd rather do three workouts, the same three workouts for four straight weeks, and then give you a new program, because that's the perfect amount of variety and structure for best results. But I'm willing to compromise and say, okay, I'll give you six, but you're going to repeat at least one time. All right? So there's a balancing act, feedback over time, creating value, etc. But part of what I do in the midweek workout, because I know workout one can be harder because you had a full weekend, and I know workout three, or the Monday and Friday workouts can be more challenging, because you've got a weekend. You've got an extra day of recovery there. But because the Wednesday workout, the hump day workout, you only have a day of rest bookending the Wednesday workout. It's got to be easier to recover from. And bands are easier to recover from than dead weight. They just are. They're more joint friendly. It's just that perfect midweek training tool. Not that I won't put a band workout sometimes on a Friday or whatever else, or like combine it with a kettlebell or a dumbbell, whatever. But bands make them dance, but they're easy to recover from. So this is a classic workout that I, you know, basically Shout out to Dave Schmitz, the bandman, the homie from Germantown. The guy, one of the first guys to really mentor me and give me the time of day in fitness back in 2005, 2006. We did some work together in Milwaukee with athlete groups. And he introduced me to like using bands for cardio drills and locomotion. And this is a classic 30-30 workout. All our gear is at gardenofgains.com. The bands we use are from Dave. And this one's really good. You go from stationary running, which is attaching basically it's a double band setup. I'd start with either a pair of blacks or a pair of purples, and you anchor it to a power rack or use a band utility strap to anchor it to the door. And then you put one band to the strap, and you put the strap is good because you put it on a smooth surface so the band doesn't wear a tether. And then you loop another band of the same resistance to that band. And ideally, what I do now, based on Dave's recommendation, is there's like a Velcro strap loop that you can connect the bands together to instead of knotting the bands together, which sometimes can create an overstretch, and then it gets tough to actually unknot the bands. They get like stuck together. So that extra Velcro strap helps a ton in just making sure that the bands have a better lifetime and they can easily kind of, you can take them on and off quickly. So just check it out. This will make better sense as the visual. But the stationary running, basically you're facing away from the anchor point, the band is attached at the hips, and it allows you to get a slight forward lean to better mimic that sprinting angle. Like when you do high knee runs in place, not a bad movement. It's better than nothing for sure. It's still highly effective, but no one runs like vertically. You run, running is basically falling forward. So it allows you to grip that natural forward lean to be able to drive your toes in more, get more glute activation, calf activation, and better transfer, frankly, and just your fast arms, fast legs, easy on the joints. You get your heart rate through the roof. Through the roof. That's a start. It's also a built-in warm-up, really mobilizing the hips, activating the core, the shoulders. And then we go into leaning vertical jump. So we actually, it's a jump done on the balls of your feet. And the lean allows us to create that effect. And I show regression, by the way, in the video. I can't describe the regression very well on camera. It's basically like a ground zero jump or a body weight swing. But on the main version, I show regressions, by the way, where it applies, where it's like, this might be too tough for some people. I talk about that in the videos. That's with the benefit of the videos. But you lean, you keep maintain that same kind of lean you had, and we jump and we land in control, and it's just such a beautiful movement. And again, like it's going to get you fired up, but it's also less stressful on the joints than a lot of plyometric movements. I use my plyos in a way that just allow us to create the lowest cost possible to the body. So we got those two moves to start. At this point, like you're feeling it, the heart rate's up. Now we're going to go to a different plane of motion with some shuffles. So shuffle left, shuffle right. Basically what we do here is we now side face the anchor point and you do a couple shuffle steps out and then come back without overstretching the bands. So, you know, you start out far enough away from the unit where you feel tension in the band. You shuffle a couple steps in without crossing the feet or letting the feet come together. You got to keep that wide base. And you use your adductors to pull you out and your glutes to decelerate you on the return. So the wide stance is key. You know, if you ever watch basketball players when they're on defense, the great defenders, they keep that wide stance and they minimal steps and wide base and long wide hands so that it's efficient and you're always in front of the offensive player. And if you'll notice the ones that aren't good on defense, they're really tall. And their feet are really close together and they end up crossing their feet. And when someone changes direction on them, their ankles break. All right. So that's the key. And this is just training your body to accelerate out against the band tension. But because the bands stretch, they're going to pull you back in faster than you would if you were just doing shuffles in place, which creates increased deceleration demands, which make your muscles work harder, your metabolism get higher. And by the way, stop and go work is scientifically proven to elevate heart rate more and create more metabolic disturbance and muscle damage in a good way. So that's all factored in beyond the fact that shuffles are actually really easy on the knees and a very important frontal plane side-to-side movement, lateral movement that a lot of people don't really incorporate into their workouts. So we get that going. Shuffle left for move three, shuffle right for move four. And then we finish with some back pedal work. And this is great too because, again, one of the things that people overlook is the importance of deceleration. Deceleration, like injuries happen when you stop or change direction more often than not, especially the catastrophic ones. So what we're doing with the back pedal, we start out with band tension. You take a couple steps forward, you turn the hips slightly, plant the foot flat. And I want you to think about the way a cornerback looks when they approach a receiver and then stop before they turn and run. to cover the receiver. They come forward to the receiver. They drop their hips, triple bend ankle knee hips. They turn their hips slightly so that their foot, their lead foot plants flat, but they get open like that in a way that gives them more stability and support and allows them to turn and run if they need to. You hit that and then you explode out of that position. It's so good for the quads, the heart rate, glutes, and it'll help bulletproof the knees in a serious way. And so basically what that is, like you take a treadmill workout, you could do 30-30 on the treadmill, you get a great workout, but it's not nearly as fun as this. And now we're working multiple planes of motion. We're making, you know, awesome athletic movements. You'll have more fun. Maybe like you're not find a better cardio interval workout than workout two bands. What I should call it is the craziest cardio workout ever, or the most effective but simple cardio workout of all time. But I call it workout two bands because I don't need to sell you on that if you're already a member. You know that, but maybe I have to sell you if you're not. Great workout. And what's great about the two is workout one was more strength. Workout three is more strength. So workout two is a little more cardio intensive. And cardio workouts are a little bit easier to recover from too. There's less muscle damage. Workout three, dumbbells. Back to the dumbbells. And this is a classic. Like, it's so funny. On Instagram, you got to create like all these. The more moves, sometimes the better it tends to do. And by the way, they have an algorithm in place that, from what I understand, that the longer someone's spending looking at the moves and sliding through, it actually can push your content more. It tells Instagram's algorithm that, oh, people are engaged more with the content if they're like spending more time looking, swiping. So that's why more move workouts tend to do better on Instagram, beyond the fact that like beauty of, I'll do a podcast, by the way, on how to make killer content, because I can speak to that. I've done it for a long time, and how it differs from like paid content behind the paywall. I don't give a fuck if you're entertained or not as much as like, is this going to give you your money's worth? And sometimes I can do that in three moves or less and make an amazing workout in three moves or less. But that won't do well on Instagram because it's not enough variety. And if you don't like the three moves, you won't like the post. But if I make 10 moves and you like at least one of those moves, which is likely, like you just got to fuck around. And at least one of the moves people are like, oh, I haven't seen that one before. They'll end up liking the post. So it's there's a difference between making killer content and making killer programming. All right. So consider that. But workout three is just so fucking simple. Built-in warm-up, exercise one, weighted side plank hold, dumbbell in the top hand. And even with that, you could make it harder by raising either the top leg to work your lateral hips more, or raising the bottom inside leg to work your adductors, groin more, and make that same weight feel heavier. That'll basically make a 25-pound dumbbell feel like a 50, one of those leg raise variations. But we're activating the core, the hips, the shoulder girdle, strengthening the lateral trunk musculature, great core stability movement. Again, I don't do side crunches. We do core moves that create stability more often than not, because really the core is designed to stabilize the spine. So that's a built-in warm-up. Exercise one on the left side, exercise two on the right. And again, that's not going to get your heart rate up that much, but it's greasing the groove. And the reason I put those two moves there is because, especially when you come back to them and you do the next four movements, you need a reprieve, because we're doing these moves nonstop. And by the way, my personal preference is to go 30 seconds on, 30 seconds off for six moves and then rest a minute. And that would be one round. Then I would only do up to, you know, in that case, I'd do maybe four cycles. But again, I that's part of what I tell people is I want to empower you. Take control of your workout. If you'd rather have the minute rest because you can find, you need to towel down, get a water, change the music, whatever, and then create more intensity, because you actually can keep more intensity if you have a minute break between each cycle. But at the same time, people that want more cardio and more nonstop, you know, you just go 30 on, 30 off all the way through. But if you did that and every move was intense, you would conk out, you'd die. So that's why the first move or two is always a little bit easier. I understand that. But the next four moves are brutal, and they are whole body, and they will light your ass up. So, and they're also unilateral. So it's only two moves technically, but you go left and then right. So moves three and four, reverse lunge, clean to overhead press. So you start by holding the dumbbells right at your sides in a full stand. You step back in your reverse lunge and simultaneously pull the weights to shoulder level, and then you stick the bottom of that lunge with the back knee hovering above the ground. So whole body's involved. We have a pull, a lower, and then at the same time, you're right there, you hold that position isometrically, which is easy on the joints but hard on the muscles, and from there you press overhead. And then you basically reverse the pattern, come back to a stand. there is so much going on with that movement. It's fun, lightweight, feels heavy, and it's whole body in and of itself. That alone could be a full workout. But it's just part of that workout, and you'll switch sides. Then, moves 5 and 6, we go step back to forward lunge clean. So a step back is like a more accessible version of a single leg hip hinge, which is honestly just there's too much balance and stability for most people, and they spend most of the time like moving, like swaying in the air because it's so hard to stabilize. So I'm working on the same muscles. It's more accessible. You basically just, you reach your trail leg back as far as you can till the toe touches the ground, creating more of a hip hinge pattern to stress the glutes and hamstrings more in the backside of the body, and you form kind of a 45 degree angle with your trunk, and the weights will end just alongside the knee at about lower knee, upper shin level. And then from that position, hips loaded, you pull yourself through into a forward lunge and you pull the weights to shoulder level, doing it clean. And then you just keep repeating that pattern. Again, you have to see these, the videos will help. But here's just a really fun way to just like light your ass up and basically take skills we work on every month, you know, like the lunge, the clean, the press, with in a more accessible way, obviously with dumbbells. And I'm an expert at making the same shit different. Because I stick with the basics, I milk the basics, but I know the smallest little tweaks and variations to keep building upon what we learn each month and keep you guys guessing and keep things fun. Amazing workout. Workout 3, dumbbells. We got about 13 minutes left here, so I'm going to kind of speed it up a bit. Workout 4, kettlebell. So I'm mixing the kettlebell workout here, and usually when I say kettlebell, I want you to use the kettlebell because if I wanted it to be a dumbbell workout, I would just make dumbbells. So I use the tool for a specific reason. If I'm doing a regular swing with the weight between the legs, I don't like using dumbbells for that. That's a kettlebell workout. But then, or I'll have you do dumbbell skier swings, which I prefer dumbbell skier swings versus the kettlebell skier swings. Anyway, kettlebell workout, usually I'd start with a 12 to 16 kilogram kettlebell. I would do this workout probably with, you know, anywhere from a 24 to a... I could go as high as 44 kg on some of the movements, like the banded swing. But the banded swing, basically, and you attach the band to the side horns of the bell, and then you step your feet on the band. And what it does, it actually creates resistance at the top and then pulls the weight down hard on the descent, making the same weight feel much more challenging. So you get, you know, in addition to the increased ballistic nature of the band, and you get tension at the top, you get more tension at the bottom, and it makes the lighter weight feel heavy, smokes the entire backside of the body, also mobilizes the hips, activates the glutes and shoulder girdle, and kind of sets the tone. So it is kind of a built-in warm-up. And because we're using the band, you don't need to use as heavy of a kettlebell. So you see what I'm saying? Like, I'm not starting with like super heavy kettlebell swings there out of the gate. You don't need as heavy of a kettlebell because you're adding the band to it. So we start there, working the glutes and the hamstrings, really whole body, but stressing more the posterior chain, the backside of the body. Then we go goblet presses. You hold the kettlebell by the horns as you would in a goblet squat, and then you pull your hip shoulders down, crunch the abs, clench the glutes, and you press the weight overhead. And because of the holding position, you're working your grip more, your arms more, lighter weight feels more challenging there, and it puts you in what's called the scapular plane when you press. You can't get all the way up overhead, but which is good for some people that have mobility issues. Because if you don't have the mobility, you end up hyperextending the back, and or you can elevate the shoulder girdle, the ribs rise, the shoulder, the scapula rise, and you can create impingement or clicking of the shoulder joint. So the goblet presses actually force you to kind of press the weight a little more in front of the body, which increases the core challenge and puts your shoulders in a more shoulder, friendly pressing pattern. Do you understand how much thought goes into this? I don't have to necessarily think about it anymore because it's just natural to me, but that's what I want you to understand, like what goes into the programming. Then we go goblet cleans. So the goblet clean, either from the floor or from a hang position between your knees, you hold the top of the handle and then you pull the weight up and grab the horns like you would at the beginning of the press. So now we're going from a press now or a push now back to a pull. And at the same time, like these are movements that do engage, you're on your feet, they do engage your whole body. They just tend to like work more of the shoulders. So you're getting grip, shoulders, traps, glutes, great stuff there. move forward, threaded lunges. This is the lunge where you, let's say you're holding in your right hand, you step back with the right leg and a reverse lunge, left leg is forward, then you pass the weight underneath the leg, see the other hand in the bottom position, then you step back forward. So this threading lunge actually makes you have to spend more time in the down position, which stresses the muscles more, challenges your stability more, especially as you're passing and transferring weight between hands. Super metabolic, one of my favorite ones that I first learned from my buddy Jason C. Brown of Kettlebell Athletics, who I got certified from like back in, I don't know, 2008. I got to get him on the podcast at some point, but one of my favorite lunge variations. Then we go to American Snatches. I also learned from Jason C. Brown, where you are just a super accessible way to do a snatch without having to worry about the bell rotating around the wrist and hitting the wrist. You basically start in you're a sumo deadlift position. So the weight is underneath your hips. You sink down, hold the handle, chest up, shoulders higher than the hips, but not like totally upright. Your hips are hinged. And then you pull the weight straight up into basically a goblet clean, but then you simultaneously press overhead. And you finish with the weight overhead in a snatch and you reverse the pattern. Now, can I tell you what's so ingenious about the flow of this workout? All I'm doing, like if I just start with the American snatch, that might be challenging for you out the gate because like I got to do a clean and a press. But you know what you did prior? You did goblet presses and goblet cleans. So all the American snatch is just combines the goblet clean and a goblet press. See the layers to this? And then we finish with an alternating lateral lunge to high pull, which is, again, I want to get you out of just pure sagittal, plane up and down front to back movements, work the lateral hips, and then combine that with a high pull. Now it's a whole body metabolic face melter. Workout 4, killer. You will not find a better workout than workout 4 with a kettlebell. Might be different. You will not find better. Perfect flow. Final two workouts. Workout 5, back to dumbbells. And I mentioned before, by the way, that you know dumbbells can be loaded stuff can be more challenging to recover from, but you can still use them on Wednesday workouts. And I also, when I make these, I look at the movements I did in previous workouts, and I make sure that I get all the patterns that I want to get each month. I want to make sure I'm not too repetitive on them. You know, like I want to make sure we at least get a squat in one of the 6 workouts, but I don't like doing too much bilateral squatting. So I look at all that, that factors into it. Again, I could spend fucking hours talking about this shit, but so workout 5 dumbbells. We start with alternating rotational overhead presses. So again, we can take that classic press, which is sagittal plane based, and we can add some rotation to it to challenge the core more, get the hips involved, get the feet involved. And again, rotation is something people are missing a lot in their workouts. All you're doing is holding a pair of dumbbells, palms facing into your chest, as if holding kettlebells, frankly, but you're using dumbbells, and you're going to turn to your left, pivot the feet, rotate the hips, and then press the right arm overhead, biceps end alongside the ear. You pivot the feet, rotate the hips, and your belly button is always facing forward, so you're not twisting at the back. And then I would just twist to the right and then press with the left. So just you're pressing with the lead arm as you twist and pivot. And again, that's where the videos help with this. Great starting movement. Warms you up, mobilizes the shoulders, activates the core, gets the hips and the feet going. Then move 2, we do rotational hang cleans. So one, it's basically this, you're doing the same rotational pattern. One dumbbell remains at the rack level. The other one is at is hanging in a hang clean position with the weight around knee upper shin level. And then I basically pull that down hand weight up to shoulder level, pivot the feet, rotate the hips, and then the other arm comes down to replace the other hand. And I'm just going back and forth like that. And because you're holding one dumbbell up too, again, you, like a pair of 10 to 25 pound dumbbells is all you'd ever want to use for this. Because it's challenging your core and your shoulders the entire time. And there's also some rhythm and coordination involved. Now, the thing to consider too with this, those two movements, the rotational aspect of them, they have a higher skill requirement. So I can't make the remaining movements to be super challenging. They've got to be more basic. So moves 3 and 4, classic single leg movement, a low box, rear foot elevated, contralateral split squat. So contralateral means if my left leg is forward and that's the main work leg, I'm holding in the right side hand, which stresses your lateral hips more. It's also, it's not a Bulgarian split squat in the sense that you're elevating just slightly and you're staying on your toes, which is good because it actually strengthens the feet and the toes. I do as many of these barefoot as possible, by the way, because you get more activation. I've did an episode on this. But great for strengthening the toes, strengthening the knees, and it's just a nice variation on the Bulgarian split squat that I like to involve in. And you get a great stretch in the back leg, and the back leg is more involved in the workout. So you actually can load up even more than you would in a Bulgarian split squat. So great variation to mix in. You do left leg and then right leg, and that's more of a muscle building movement, classic, you know, strength builder. The previous ones, because of the rotational action and the coordination, you know, there's more power, coordination, metabolic effect. This one's straight strength muscle builder, but your heart rate's go through the roof because your leg muscles are so big, they require so much oxygen and metabolic demand. And then you finish with a one-arm ipsilateral step-up thruster. Another awesome thruster variation. Five is left, exercise six is right. And ipsilateral means you're loading the same side hand as the work leg. So if I'm going left leg on the step, I'm holding in my left hand. And basically, you from the bottom of the step-up position, you are exploding up to the top of the box while pressing a weight overhead. Very easy on the joints, but the shoulder and hip load is off the charts, and those are your biggest, most metabolically active areas. So getting those going means some serious metabolic output. Workout five is a slayer. Finishing with workout six, the sandbag workout. If you haven't listened to the sandbag training podcast with Josh Henkin, where we get our sandbags from, where I got the inspiration for many of these movements, you want to check that one out in a previous episode. And again, all our gear is at gardenofgains.com with a Z. So I'm going to go through this one quick. Bridge pullovers. So you get into a bridge position, much like that bridge floor press I talked about earlier. Stretch the hip flexors, activate the glutes, but now you're holding the bag and now you are bringing it from over your face, chest level, to overhead where it just touches the floor to stretch the lats and triceps, activate the core more. And again, it's an amazing mobility movement that's warming you up for the workout in a slower, more controlled tempo that also gives you a reprieve as you accumulate cycles of the circuit. Then we go into bear hug squats, where you hold a sandbag vertically right alongside sternum through navel, and you hug it like a bear, and you pull your scapula down and back. So it works your thoracic extensors and also autocorrects your squat form. Because you lock in that tension in the upper body, you can just sit tall and deep than you could ever with a barbell, and you're getting more core activation, more trunk activation, and lighter loads go a longer way. It's very safe and easy and super effective. And so that's kind of built-in warm, but also just you can put some good load through the squat. Then we go sandbag clean and press. Like, my favorite way to do clean and press is, by the way, because the shifting nature of the sandbag increases stabilization demands, and you have to actually slow it down, because when you clean and press a sandbag, you have to clean it to the top of your fists, which makes you basically pause and hold that rack position. And then when you press overhead, like, the stability demands on the abs and the shoulders are off the charts, and you have to reset it. Total body face melter. That's really going to get you going. And then the final three are just killer. I'm going to probably take a pause because I got a minute left before the recording shuts me down, because I can only record an hour at a time. And then I'll come back and do an outro. But we go rotational lunges, where the sandbag is in front of the body, and you step back in your reverse lunge, but then you pass the bag over and outside the lead leg, rotating at the upper back, not the lower back, which is just like such a good movement for the core, mobility of the trail leg hip and the upper back thoracic spine. And you're getting core, glute, amazing. Then you step forward and then you switch sides. And my heart rate gets between, like, you know, 150 plus on that. Then shoveling, where you are, basically it's a level change in a rotational lunge. I'm pivoting the feet, rotating the hips, and I'm not going as deep. And I'm basically taking a weight from a quarter squat position with triple bends, and you're on the toes of the back leg, and I just pivot, rotate, and pass over from one leg to the other. And that one you have to see. And then shoveling, basically I'm in a lateral lunge. I have a wide stance. I have the sandbag resting on one foot. Then I explode from one side to the other and just pass the bag from my left to my right foot, destroy my lateral hips. Awesome workout is workout six. I'm going to pause and come back and finish this one off. All right, baby, we're going to wrap things up if you're still with me. You know, one thing I have to point out is, whether it's me or whoever else that you choose to get your workouts from, make sure they know what the fuck they're doing. Like, I hope I just demonstrated, like, an hour that I just talked about six workouts that I made for just this month of the dailybj.com, that a lot of thought goes into it. It's not random. It's all about the user and putting you guys in the best position to be safe and have a great fitness experience for the long haul. So I just hope you know that. Like, I could have gone and like, it took me an hour to design the workouts for the month. I put a full hour in, and basically I set the clock and I make the six best workouts I can. And they always come out fire at this point in my career. So that's one way to also, if you're looking at as an entrepreneur, getting things done. But yeah, I mean, this is I think what separates, you know, the weak from the strong or whatever. I don't know what the fuck analogy you want, but I'm actually kind of tired. I get a lot of sleep, obviously, as I mentioned. But you can get a free 3-day trial to the dailybj.com. Link in show notes, hashtag not a porn site, and try it out. And every month you get that same level of attention and focus and six new workouts, and you can access all the past month's content. They're built for home travel, busy parents, professionals, 3 30-minute workouts a week, minimal equipment. I don't know what else the fuck you want. Now, I do know what else you fucking want, because I know what you guys would want. Most of you would love it if they were follow along. But I don't have the ability, both physically, energy, whatever, at this age, to make 6 follow-along workouts anymore. And frankly, the issue with follow-along is I can only provide so much to you because you got to use a screen. And with follow-along, the reason I don't like doing that shit anymore is because there's no empowerment. I want to empower you to take control of your workout. I want you to be able to learn enough about the movements in your body that you can see something. Because there's PDFs that come with this, by the way, for reference of the moves, screenshots. So you're not totally blinded, but you should get to the point, by the way, in your workouts, we don't have to always reference or look at a sheet or be told exactly what to do. Like, we're doing this forever. So let's just fucking get rid of the fucking screen and be big boys and big girls about this and just fucking memorize the work. It's 6 movements. You can't memorize the workout? Maybe in the beginning I can see how it's tough, and it's probably why, like, people that have bought in, like, have no issue, but people that are new to it, there's a level of extra work on your end that I just expect. Because I want to make it hard enough for you that you have to learn and empower yourself. Because if you're not willing to do that work, I know you're not going to be a long-term member anyway, and you're going to go just basically program hop the rest of your life and stop and start and be inconsistent and wonder why you've never gotten the results you're looking for. But yeah, I'm sure you'd like follow along, but we don't have enough fucking members to legitimize doing follow-along workouts. And frankly, it would have to be a lot for me to legitimize it, because maybe I could work in one, I don't know, but the amount of time and effort that goes into filming that, editing that, and then ultimately, like, you have to do it in front of a screen, which is not practical for most people. Could we up the production value? Absolutely. But I don't... The amount of extra cost that would go into that versus the fact that you're getting exactly what you need and the fact that it's actually pretty good production value as it is, you know, we know the exact amount that is required. And you could say, well, if you made the production value better, you'd get more people. It's like, no, trust me, we wouldn't. Okay? Because most people don't want to do it because of the cost. You know, it's 20 a month, or it's less if you commit to a longer term thing, because, you know, you can just get it for free on Instagram, or BJ will just talk about it for an hour and I'll just... Or I can just go and get the written description of stuff, you know. Or I can just create a new account every day with a new email address and cheat the system. Like, if you want to do that, go ahead. But I know people are good people, and most people are, at least. And, you know, you're not just paying for access, you're paying to support the arts. Because if I see at some point that isn't worth my time to do this, then I'll stop doing it. And if I can support myself other ways, that's what I'll do. So... you're not just accessing your own workouts. You're supporting me doing this long term if you find value in it and you benefit from it. And obviously, one thing I would like to do, honestly, to really finish off the Daily BJ, is to create a timing music app that, like, every month the workout names are in it. There is the timers locked in and you can just mix your music to it. And many of you have suggested that, as if I hadn't thought about that. But yeah, obviously I know I can do that. But you understand it would be like $100,000 just to start that. And then probably $5,000 to $10,000 in ongoing maintenance costs every month or quarter. We just don't have the demand to do that yet. Now, if we had, instead of, you know, around a couple thousand members, you know, 5,000 to 10,000 members, then okay, that's different. If you want to help me spread the word and get more people involved in this program, and I can see the reason to spend 6 figures... on, you know, slightly improving the user experience, because that all it is slightly improving it, to be honest. It's working just fine with Tabata Pro. Obviously, you would like that, but I'd lose money. We'd lose money if I would do that. But if you want to support the arts and get more people involved, then feel free. More integration. There's other things we can do. But based on the level of interest and also just seeing the trends, you know, I'm stuck at this number of members for this particular platform. And that's why I created GorillaCorn Games and other things, and we're doing other things. But that's it. And if I did a transformation contest, I could add like a couple hundred members, but most of them would quit because they, you know, it ends when it ends, and then I'm not doing a good enough job. I'm leading with gimmicks and short-term bullshit instead of just saying, okay, 352 forever. And there's so many other free things out there right now. So again, just to understand that the climate of things right now, guys, that's kind of how it is. So it would be a bad decision at this point. And like I said, my goal would be eventually to get to the point where I could just share my workouts for free and support myself other ways. Not there yet. But if you are someone who finds value in stuff like this, and you've been a long-term member of the stuff, I appreciate you supporting the arts along the way. And just know that if there's things that you wish that would be there, most likely we've thought of them, okay? And we haven't done them because there just isn't a level of interest, or the cost exceeds the benefit from a business standpoint. Hope you guys like this one. Let me know. Send me a voice message on Anchor. Your thoughts on it. Especially if you're a dailybj.com member, or you know, you find benefit in this, let me know. If the feedback's good, I'll do this again each month. And again, if you're a member of the site and you feel like I'm sharing too much, just understand, like, you have to see the moves. You got to get the coaching. The art is also in how I can coach and teach a video, like, frankly. Not a lot of people can do that in one take and give you only what you absolutely need to know, so I can spare you, you know, save you time and get you safe, effective results. So beyond the fact that all the workouts are there, archive, there's a great user-friendly app that's clean, looks good, and you don't have to fucking scour through endless Instagram or YouTube shit. So it is what it is. I love you guys. Hopefully this gives you some insight into the method behind the madness. If you are a member of my site, if you're a trainer, just to know everything that goes beyond making these workouts. It's not just randomly putting fucking movements together. And if you're an entrepreneur, it gives you an idea of, if you're consistent long enough in what you do in your craft, you can end up taking what used to take you a full month to fulfilling it within a half day and make a lot more money doing it and impact a lot more people. And that's kind of the joy of all this. If you put in the time, put in the work, honor the craft, and take advantage of technology and social media, frankly. But I love you guys. A 5-star rating and review is much appreciated. Hopefully I didn't turn people off with, you know, bragging about how good my workouts are, but I'm just being honest. I love you guys. Peace.